Welcome to Licking the Bowl, the story of an appetite. I'm Erica Lutz, recording from a secret, undisclosed location. Licking the Bowl is a forthcoming book. It's this podcast. It's a memoir with recipes. It's the story of a life recreated. It's my new thing. With chickens. This is episode 11, The Change in Seasons. The last couple of days have left me philosophical, excited, and hungry. I love autumn. I love it. It's my favorite season, maybe because my birthday is in the fall. It's also the time of year when traditionally school has started, new beginnings. Episode 11, New Beginnings, Toast, Cheese, and Baking Banana Bread. But we'll start with a chicken update. This morning I went down to Fort Chicken, and there were 8 lovely little hens scuttling around as they normally do when I bring them their treats in the morning. Wait, 8. 8 hens. Yes, always 8 hens, but today it was just 8 hens. Well, I don't exactly know how to share this, but a few days ago, Luke went to the Great Freezer Camp in the sky, and that's about all I'm going to say about that, except that the hens are calm, I'm calm, and Luke was calm, and it was the right thing to do. Hey, I'm a real chicken farmer now. Goodbye, little Luke, who was Lucy. You were a good rooster. It's the change in seasons. We made it. We made it through the long, hard summer with the risk of fire and sniffing the horizon at every turn and the dust, all the dust. Last night, it really rained. And tonight, perhaps we'll even have a fire in the wood stove. In the autumn, a woman's thoughts turn to toast, savory toast. Toast, my ultimate comfort food, is the first thing that many of us learn how to cook. It's the first time we can transform the mundane bread into magic, and it's so versatile. I love the sound of people eating toast. That particular crunch just sounds so delicious, so comforting. The sound of slurping and open-mouthed eating drives me batty. Somehow, toast is different. Perhaps because people eating toast are happy people. So here's a savory toast to serve your jangled nerves when you're in the thick of making company stew, which makes you feel good but not quite good enough. It's the afternoon of an unproductive day. The moon is full, or Mercury is retrograde, or both, and the veil between the worlds is thin. Autumn. The sky has been thickening and thinning for days. The National Weather Service says there's a 40% chance of rain. That's a terrible number. Do something, Dan says, looking upward. You've bought fresh sourdough bread for dinner, but of course you've broken into it. And the stew's in the oven, and you've mostly cleaned up your mess. But too many of the people you love are still dead. Still, on the counter, there's a half a can of tomato paste and part of a can of anchovies. Now all you need is butter. And of course you have butter. The world has not yet ended. Slice 2 slices of sourdough bread. Toast it. Slather a layer of tomato paste on 1 piece of bread. Place several shavings of unsalted butter on the other. The anchovies, 2, 3, 4, go in the middle. As you eat your toast sandwich, over the sink probably, the planets will realign and your ghosts will recede. Later that night, it will rain. Licking the Bowl, Sometimes it's literal. Sometimes it's metaphorical. Always, it's delicious. This is Erica. Check us out online, lickingthebowl.com. You can always find the recipes that are featured in this podcast listed there. We're on Instagram too, Licking the Bowl. You can always write to me, Erica@lickingthebowl.com. Don't forget the C and the K. And don't forget to lick the bowl. And now, cheese, nearest and dearest to my heart, cheese. Okay, I'm being a little dramatic, but I have heard, and I believe it, that cheese is as addictive as heroin. Cheese is incredibly expensive, but let's for a moment pretend that it is not. Let's fantasize together. Here's a recipe for a cheese board. Well, it's not a recipe per se. It's an inspiration. Might even be a way of life. You need cheese, many kinds, many flavors, many textures. Here's where the whole barnyard comes in. You want goat cheese. You want sheep cheese. You want cow cheese. Some strong, some mild, some runny, some aged, some fresh. Get as much or as little as you like, but have at least three or four kinds. You need the best butter you can buy. Now, if you're not shopping at a specialty store, go for Plugra. It's available in most supermarkets, and it has a higher fat content than standard butter. Clearly, you need some delicious crackers, or even some fantastic sliced bread. In terms of crackers, if you're gluten-free, there are some great gluten-free crackers out there. I actually like the really thin Rice Krisps. They're mild, and so they don't distract from the flavor of the cheese, but they have a delicious crunch. And then here's where you start to get really creative. A blob of jam, maybe two blobs of jam, different kinds of jam, marmalade, a small pile of dried fruits, some nuts, a little almonds on the side would be great, a few walnuts, especially in the autumn when the walnuts are fresh. Maybe even a little salad. Arrange everything you have on the biggest cutting board, or if you have one, a slate cheese board, and let it come to room temperature. The melty cheeses will get a little more melty, and everything will just freshen up and bloom. Serve with butter knives, napkins, maybe small dessert dishes. A glass of wine is nice with this, two glasses. Fire in the wood stove in winter, or a comfortable picnic table and a lemonade in summertime. You can combine and eat and sample and play, each person at their own rate. It's fun and sumptuous, whether there's one of you or six of you. And you'll want to do it again tomorrow. Autumn, crisp air, crisp apples from our tree, honey, sweetness, Rosh Hashanah, Happy New Year. In autumn, I just want to bake. The air outside is so fresh, and inside, I just want to warm up the house a little bit. So here's a recipe for banana bread with walnuts. I often bake banana bread with walnuts. I actually really do just whip it up. I generally have the ingredients on hand. Before you even begin this, you're actually preheating the oven to 350 and buttering a 4x8-inch loaf pan. This is an easy, easy recipe. All you need are bananas, butter, baking soda, salt, brown sugar, one egg, vanilla, flour, and walnuts. Go look on the website, lickingthebowl.com. Everything's listed there. The bananas should be overripe. Take the three overripe bananas, smash them with a fork in a bowl. 1/3 cup of melted butter. You can microwave it for about 40 seconds and it will melt on down. Put that in there, stir it up. Combine that with a teaspoon of baking soda, a pinch of salt, 1/2 cup of brown sugar, 1 beaten egg, 1 teaspoon vanilla. Then stir in 1.5 cups of flour and about 1/2 cup of walnuts, chopped up a bit. Now you'll notice this is all happening in one bowl. Well, you need a little bowl to melt the butter in and maybe a little bowl to beat the egg in. But other than that, one big bowl. Pour and scrape all of this batter that you've just created, it's not fancy, into the buttered pan and bake it for about 45 minutes to an hour, which means I start checking at 45 minutes. You stick a toothpick in, and when it comes out clean, not gooey, it's done. Take the loaf from the oven, let it cool on a rack. I actually take the banana bread from the pan at that point. You might need to loosen it gently around the 4 sides with a knife. Wait for as long as you possibly can, which means 10 to 15 minutes, before breaking into it. Slice it, serve it. It is best when it's still warm from the oven. Add a little bit of butter for even better flavor. It's also the best toasted with butter the next day. In the turning of the seasons, I get philosophical. I think about resilience and what it takes to continue on. I think about the tenacity of the human spirit, even in the toughest of times. Let me take you back to New York, 1981. When I lived with Robert in New York, I saw the same bums every day, stinking of urine and rot, hair overgrown like moldy lichen, drunk on night train, mumbling near our subway entrance or fighting in slurred voices near our apartment building. They scared me, but I made myself look at them. It was important to learn about everything in life. We lived around the block and around the corner from Shapiro's kosher wine factory on Rivington Street. One day a cask burst and the gutters ran with sweet holy wine. I imagined the homeless men dipping red solo cups, toasting their good fortune. Another sweltering afternoon in late summer, one of the usual bums lay in the street rolling and moaning, his pants shoved down around his hips, a thick thatch of pubic hair exposed naked, his face a hidden secret lost, as cars honked and swerved and honked around him and nobody stopped. I forced myself to look, wincing at his humiliation. A few days later, I saw the same bum standing near the doorway of the corner store as I stopped in for early morning frozen bagels and orange juice. As I passed through the doorway, he turned, and just for a second, our eyes met. They were brown eyes, intelligent, sober, and they shocked me. Beneath the drunkenness, the roaring, the gutter sprawling, was still life. Life is tenacious. You can try and try, and you will still wake up with a terrible hangover, with a terrible fear, even with knowing that you have to try to blot it out again. But still there. Still you. Thanks for listening. This is Licking the Bowl. Licking the Bowl is a Bear Clover Productions production. Don't forget to lick the bowl, baby.